You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
In the spirit of reconciliation, We Are Theatre acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Hello, theatre fans, one and all, and to the Queendom. This is a very special episode. We're combining the two shows that I've got out there in the world, the Queendom podcast and We Are Theatre, into one. We're heading right now to Alaska. Artemis is joining me. You're on the Bliss at the moment, is that right?
Yes, the Norwegian Bliss.
In what looks to be a very chilly Alaska at the moment as well.
It's very cold, yes. I was checking the temperature and it says 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And I usually do Celsius, so I don't know what that means. But either way, it's very cold.
Yeah.
But this is the best place for the service.
All right, we'll try and keep this nice so you can get back to being warm. But no. For everyone listening at home, obviously, Six is where I started podcasting, guys. So we're going to try and wrap all the brains because it's been 2 years since I've spoken about this show. So we'll see how we go. How did you first hear about Six? What was your introduction to the show as a whole?
Well, I remember I was still in college. I went to Erdang in London. And I think this was around the time that everyone started talking about it. Have you seen this show called Six? It's amazing. It's incredible. It's about Henry VIII's wives and everything. And we were all very excited about it. And actually, one of my very best friends, Athena, was the original par for the UK tour. So she got that, I think, straight out of college. And so my first time watching the show was with her in it.
That's so cool.
And so not only was it very special that she was in it, but it was just such, I was blown away. And the show is just amazing. I loved it instantly. And not because I was biased, but because it was just such a great show.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience.
You pretty much did the same thing and came out of college and went into the show
this is my first professional job as well, so we graduated, and then we had some months of auditions, and then obviously COVID struck, so it was all put on hold, and then as COVID was opening and as cruise ships were coming back, I auditioned for Catherine Howard, and so my first contract was on The Breakaway, I love it, and I love playing Catherine Howard so much.
Yeah,
she's such a great role to play.
Yeah, and we love the girls from The Breakaway. They were a part of like my early years in Six as well, so they've got a massive, I think I did a reunion show with them at some point. Love all those girls too. What was your introduction to theatre? What made it you want to be a performer and do this as a job?
I feel like, I mean this in the best way, I didn't have a choice. As in, it was just something that I grew up in Greece until I was 5 years old, 5, 6 years old. And it was mum's English and my dad's Greek, and so there wasn't many things to do, like in England, you know, baby swimming or, you know. So my mum took me to ballet class, so that I started that when I was three in Greece, and immediately loved it straight away. And I actually wanted to be a ballerina when I was younger anyway. so that was my first love, and it just naturally progressed. And then I, when we came back over to England, I did all the dance, jazz, tap, modern, everything contemporary. And so it just grew. And then I did singing classes at school with Jane Sell. She was a brilliant singing teacher. And I've never really looked back. It seems as though like I've never, it's again, in a great way that I didn't choose to do it. It's just naturally I fell into it. I've been brought up doing it, and I love doing it, and I can't see myself doing anything else.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
sure. We love that. So coming back to six, we'll probably jump back to that first call with Breakaway real quick. Getting the call saying, hey, you've got the contract, you're going on a ship, you're going on as Catherine Howard.
Oh, my God.
What was that kind of emotion like, especially landing your first pro gig pretty much straight out of college and everything like that? Talk me through that moment.
It was just the most, I can't really put it into words, because I remember I was working at Marks and Spencer's during lockdown. And so I was doing my temp job there. I was scanning people's groceries. And I had had the final call, maybe the final audition, a couple of days ago or something. So I knew it was around the time I would be willing, getting to find out. And then I felt my phone go in my pocket. I was scanning someone's groceries, and we're not allowed to be on our phones anyway, but I knew it's my agent that she's calling, and I have to go and find out what the answer is. And also I knew if it was bad news, I think it would have been an email. So it was a phone call. So I kind of felt this thing. So I quickly ran up to my manager. I was like, please, can I go and answer this phone call? I remember I was looking at the stone wall outside, and she was like, you've been chosen to play Catherine Howard. And I just kind of froze, and I was numb, and I was like, oh my God. It was just the best. I can't describe it. It was just kind of shock and excitement. And then I think I ran home, because I live about 5 minutes, and I ran home quickly. I took my long break, and I ran home to tell my mum. And I was kind of crying and shocked and scared as well, because I'd be away from home for, you know, 6 months, 7 months in a completely different place I've ever been before. But it was just so, it just felt amazing. It was kind of shock, happiness, numb in a great way, and just high on life. Really.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We'll jump into the cruising life just now that we've kind of segued in there. The transition from land life to sea life, we've spoken with a lot of the cruise girls about that. How did you handle that shift to confined cabins, stages that move, like performing in a different area that kind of throws off your equilibrium if there's rough seas and things like that? What was that like for you when you finally got on board Breakaway, and even now? What's that like for you performing on the ocean, essentially?
The ocean, yes. Well, it's funny, because sometimes you'll forget, if it's still waters for a couple of days, you'll forget you're actually on a boat, because the ship is so big. And then, currently we're sailing in and out of Seattle, and the seas can get really rocky. And then that's when you kind of, I don't get seasick too much, maybe when I first got on, but you forget. And then you actually have to remember, especially if you're on stage, to be careful, because you learn the choreography on land.
Yeah.
And you have these little contingency plans if it is very rocky. But still, it's even like there's a bit where we walk forward slow, and that's meant to be very easy, you'd think. But that's the hardest bit, because you have to look cool and still and smooth, and then the ship going back and forth, and it just but so that's one thing. And then I think I adapted quite well quite soon, because you're surrounded by people who've done it before as well, so they kind of give you peace of mind as well, and everyone's always very nice as well, and so you make these relationships very quickly, and just have a great time. You're hanging out with your friends all the time, and you can also have your own personal space as well, so you're not always together. But the performing wise, it depends on, if the sea is rocky, then you have to be careful and just be mindful that you won't be able to do any of the shows if you go the extreme and not think about what you're kind of on. But it's so fun. And also, a lot of the audiences that see Six on the ship probably didn't know or hadn't seen it before or don't know what it's about. Yeah. And so it brings a whole different kind of audience to the show. And it feels like perhaps you've got to try harder. It's like, understand this, and the great thing is afterwards people come up to us and like, I didn't know what it was about. I loved it so much. And it's just amazing. So it's so much fun.
That's perfect. You're doing really well at running this episode, because you're like reading my mind to where I want to go. This is great. We'll go into the storytelling of Six, because for those of you listening on We Are Theatre at the moment that haven't heard me talk about Six, I pretty much lived in this world for like a year and a half and knew this show inside and out. So we're going to see how much rust I can shake off. But finding yourself in Kay Howard, what was that like for you? What was your process in finding your version of Howard? Because the cool thing about Six is that you're not a carbon copy of each other. Everyone has themselves in the character. So what was your process like finding yourself in Kay Howard?
I think it's all in the material. The script is so wonderful that you can find bits or phrases that she'll say and think, how would I say that? Or, oh, I identify with this. Or, oh, that's funny. And kind of, even if I feel like Catherine Howard, she'll say something, not meaning to be sassy, but it will come off that way anyway. So it never comes from a place of, you know, bitchiness or mean. It's always kind of, she genuinely thinks that, oh, I've just said something a bit mean.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, how would you say that? Or how... Yeah, and I found I identified with her straight away, because she is such a fun character to play, but there's so many levels to her, and obviously you find that out in the song, that it's like the gift that keeps on giving, really. Every audience and every show is different, so it's how you play up to the energy that you've got on stage in that moment as well. I do find that the material in the script is such a great way to find the character as well.
Yeah.
So it's bringing bits from that into how you would say it as well.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Have you found that your version of Catherine has changed between contracts? Like, have you discovered anything new in like research periods or things like that, or time down, that's kind of affected a way that you kind of think about something during a certain point at all?
I think so. I feel like I probably take a bit more time now. I'm more confident in her. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And also it depends, because I've got a completely different group of queens from the first contract as well, so that their energies are different as well, and so it's how you bounce off from them, and that I think also affects how my Howard has changed.
But I think
most of her, my traits are similar, because you are bringing in yourself. And I think it's how you change, like how I changed throughout that contract has probably changed how my Howard is now.
Yeah.
But I think actually we had our Tom, which is theatrical operations manager on The Breakaway, and she runs everything for us. And she came to visit for 2 weeks. Sorry for the sound. For 2 weeks on this contract. Never far from people here. she came to visit for 2 weeks on this current contract, and she had noticed how mine had changed.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't think mine, Catherine had, was so different to my last one, but she noticed how it changed. So that's quite interesting how people who've seen my Howard before,
yeah,
have think it has progressed or it developed or something. But I feel like the basic traits of my Howard are the same.
Yeah. Similar. I want to dive a little technical here just because I've never had someone that's worked on two different ships doing the same show. How was there any changes between the version or like the blocking and staging that you had on The Breakaway compared to The Bliss? Is it like same stage size, or was there differences that you had to kind of adapt to between contracts as well?
I think it's, so the blocking, and obviously they, The Breakaway contract, we learnt the English version.
Yeah.
The West End. And this Bliss, we learnt the Broadway version, because I'm the only, and Beth, who's one of the swings, she's also from England as well, but of the principal queens, they're all American. So we've all, and we had lovely Dana and Betty, who was our choreographer and director. And so we've learnt the Broadway version. So there were slight changes in the choreography or the direction compared to that. But the staging is, it didn't feel like I was learning a completely different show. Similar staging, and the actual stage is the same. But I can't remember which one's slightly bigger, which one's slightly smaller, but they both feel similar. Yeah. So it didn't feel strange.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. That just popped into my head. So I was like, I'm just find out.
Yeah.
With the show itself, obviously you've got the biggest chunk in terms of musical solo time on stage or in your song. What's your favorite moment to kind of just be present in and kind of watch happen around you? Is there a moment where you kind of get to take a moment and go, this is really cool, like, or do you have a favorite moment in the show that you've taken from rehearsals into the show, like on stage or things like that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like it's different every show, and sometimes it will be like, oh, I didn't notice that before. But always the bit that's so poignant to me is when it's just before Howard realizes that Thomas is taking advantage of her, and he's not the friend she thought he was. And it's just that shock, and there's always silence. And I feel like up until then, it's very bubbly, it's very happy, kind of like, look at me, you know. And it kind of switches, and then I love acting this, and I love the feeling of it as well, just that kind of, because once actually, and then it changes, and it's traumatic, and it's, yeah, it never gets old doing it, it always feels different. But also once we had, there was someone in the audience, and it got to that point, and they laughed, and I don't think they realized what was happening. I think they thought, oh, here we go again. Here's another one, you know, it's all funny, on to the next kind of thing. And I don't think they realized that actually no, it's not funny. And that kind of, there was a little fire in my gut that made me just want to explode even more so, because I was like, this isn't funny.
That's so good.
And I just remembered that kind of, I found them in the, like, I didn't know exactly where they were, but I kind of looked in their direction. It was still, you know, in the middle. And it was just fire, and I just saw red, and then I just sang it, and it felt even more kind of powerful, because I was trying to get across the the point to this person who just laughed out. But actually, no. so that stuck with me, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's probably a good point there. How do you go? What was, how do I word this? The emotional roller coaster of all you want to do is very drawn out. But like to keep everybody engaged, what was that like trying to find your feet in that song? Because obviously doing it in rehearsals to an empty room is a lot different to trying to engage with an audience for nearly 7 minutes. So like, what was that like kind of getting to feel audience interaction and everything like that and develop your interaction through the song that way as well?
Yeah. Well, so in the song and the whole show, you're looking directly at the audience. You're finding specific people to look at in the audience. Even in the auditions, they want you to look them in the eye when you're singing. And coming from drama school, where you kind of, it's, that's not really the common thing to do. Usually there's the fourth wall in music, you know. And so it's kind of scary at first, because, you know, looking at people watching you perform, it's a very personal thing. Yeah. And sometimes people's watching faces, they don't mean to, but they're just like, and so that was the scary bit. And actually, sometimes maybe in rehearsal it might have been scarier because you could see them back, whereas on stage there's lights and they're slightly in the dark. You can see the first three rows, I'd say, but it's not as scary because you're looking at them, but there's so many people, it's not directly at one exact person that'll say whether or not you've got a job or not. So that was, and it was also the longevity of the song and kind of finding different moments to kind of communicate with the audience or have a different nuanced reaction to what I'm saying. I don't know, it developed. I remember it being quite difficult at the beginning because I was learning this song, it's very long, and then also the kind of physical aspect and running around and then you also have to layer on top the acting and the, you know, the audience one-to-one kind of thing. So it was a very kind of onion of a song. But I feel like now, especially this past rehearsal process, it was so much more stress-free. Because I knew what I was doing.
You had the bass there to kind of build off. So it was,
and I could play with it a bit more. It's just such, it really is just more and more fun the more you do it.
Yeah. With that breaking the fourth wall, obviously that's, as you said, an extra element that usually performers don't have to think about. So with that mindset of coming in going, okay, at this point I'm going to have to try and like single people out, are you going to the same seat every night and then looking either side for the people? Like, how are you determining who you're trying to make that connection with to make it easier on yourself, so you're not getting to that spot and going, oh, this person's not interested at all, and not getting like that feedback? Right. So how do you go about that process?
There's two. It's one, you've got the blocking that you've got to do in the show anyway. So for example, in my song, I'll Start Here, I have to go over there and then I'll walk there to start the first left center. So that's always the layout. But then throughout the beginning, because I've got lots of numbers before my song, I've kind of already sussed out who's in the audience, where they are, who I can sing to. And sometimes if it's not a very full audience, usually where I go to, there might not be someone there. So I'll have to go slightly to the side to find someone to actually speak to. It's funny if you just speak to an empty seat. I'll suss it out before my song, and then kind of go from there. But there is always that kind of general idea of the blocking, that that's where I'll go anyway.
Yeah.
Just so happens if there's a person a couple of seats along, or it is quite easy to find the ones most engaged and the ones that actually want you to speak to them, because it is the energy you get from them. So it kind of feeds itself. It's never really much of a stress that I have to think about.
Yeah, probably just comes natural now that you've done it so many times as well.
Exactly, yeah. But it's so much fun and I love doing it.
Getting another technical question out of the road, do you have a favorite harmony throughout the show that you like? Because this show has some really amazingly layered harmonies throughout. Is there one that you kind of like love?
I love, I mean all of them, but it's always the 5 more minutes where 6. Because it's so special, because it's you just come to the point in the show that we realize there's no point in comparing, and that actually we're together but we're all different as well, so that you know and the music as well, and it's just everything is just so beautiful together, and because we come together as well, so we're singing at each other. And it's just very special, because all the other ones I love and they're so much fun, but they're during a number but this one is kind of, we're together, we've joined together and we're ready to have fun.
we're talking about like the really slowed down one where you guys all like come down before like the breakout, right?
So 4, 5 more minutes.
Yeah, they're really, Yeah, I'm with you. I've got the bug back now. Yeah. This is going to be good. I've forgotten. Like, I've seen this show like 20-something times, and just there's always like little moments where it's just like that. Like, you get caught up in the story, and then that moment always brings it back in, and I'm like in tears by that point. And I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's party. Let's have fun. Going from... Wait, I'm jumping all over the spot here, guys. Sorry, this might be hard to follow along to while you're listening, but we're just jamming here. Going from Breakaway, how long was it until you knew that you were going to then be transitioning onto Bliss? Was there a break in between? Like, what was the process for you like in between the contracts?
Yeah, there was. I finished in March of 2022, and then I didn't know whether or not I was going to go on another contract with Six on Bliss or Breakaway, so I wasn't sure. I just knew that I was back auditioning back in London, and so it was. And then I finished in March, and then I went to Greece to visit my dad, and I had auditions and things like that. And then it wasn't until October of 2022 that I got this through, and it was actually an emergency replacement, and I was so excited, because I never took for granted my first contract, and I made sure I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every single day, and I made the most of every day. So the fact that this came about, it was so exciting and so special, and it came at just the right time as well, because you know, this industry, you have your booked and blessed days, and you have your what am I going to do with my life kind of days, and it was coming in that era.
Yeah.
I was over the moon, and I can't ask for a better cast with these girls as well.
Yeah.
Both my cast, I've been so lucky. They're just beautiful humans inside and out, so yeah, very lucky.
What is your, I'm going to strip it back away from the show for a sec. What's one of your favorite things about ship life? Obviously, second contract now on a ship. Is there something that you like hold dear with ship life that kind of grounds you a little to make you not so homesick and everything like that?
Yeah, I'm quite good at not being too homesick. And I've always had the travel bug. I've always wanted to travel anyway. That was in my goal of life anyway. And the fact that it comes along with a dream show as well.
Yeah.
You can't ask for better. And the community on ships is really special as well. I feel like you, unless you live on a ship, you can't quite fathom it, because it's something unlike I'd ever really experienced before. Because some people work on the ship for 10 months, and it's really their home as well. And so I love it. I think it's great. And the management we have on the Bliss is so nice, is so good. And that's really important when the higher ups look after you as well, because it can be quite an isolating and quite a scary experience, because especially from being from England and then coming and yeah, but it was so much fun. And the traveling I love, and this itinerary is great because we had the Panama Canal transit, and so I've been to Miami, Florida, Colombia, Miami's in Florida, Colombia, Guatemala, all these incredible places. And to be paid as well for it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. It's great.
Across your two contracts, have you had a favorite port that you've stopped in so far?
Yes. I really love Miami. I know this is that, so that's on a dock day when we kind of swap over guests. So I love Miami because it's just, it's such a cool place and nice vibe. Also great shots. but then I loved Colombia. We went to Cartagena in Colombia, and it was actually when my mum was on board, and we booked an excursion and we learned to sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, we went to Cartagena in Colombia, and we booked an excursion to go and see to learn about Cumbian dancing, and it's just kind of, and it's beautiful, and it's just such a thrill to be able to experience all these different cultures, and yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
So Colombia and Miami.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. One more favorite to wrap things up for us. As a dancer, do you have a favorite piece of choreography throughout the show that you really enjoy?
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when I was always a little ballerina, and so I've always loved ballet. That's my first thing. But as I grew, and the kind of hip hop never came naturally to me. But as I've grown in the show, and as we do it more and more, my favorite bit to do is in Cleaves' Get Down. And it's, we do the, this bit. He doesn't even look good anymore. But it's, it worked because we're all in a formation. We're all doing it. Yeah. It just feels powerful and cool. And I love getting to that bit and kind of doing it, because usually the audience will go, oh!
Yeah.
And kind of, so that's, I think that is one of my favorites. Also in the Mega Six, I do a little high kick, which is fun to do. I always look forward to doing that.
I had one more question that I was going to ask that I think I've forgotten at the moment, but we'll try and circle back to it in my brain. What do you think it is about Six that makes this show so special? After doing two different casts, two different contracts, like what do you think it is as a cast member that makes this show just like so unique and so special in its own right?
That's a very good question. I think, and there's lots of answers to this, because it is such a special show that there's, you can say so many different things and people be like, oh yeah, oh yeah. But I think it always comes back down to the message that it gets across, that like you will, life, in life, you do compare yourself and to other people. It doesn't, male, female. I find that in the end, it is just kind of all just coming together, just whoever you are, that's who you are. But as long as you don't kind of use it as a kind of thief of joy, if that makes sense, to compare, you know. And I feel like that's such a great message, I think, to come back to. I think just the kind of, and because it's such a small show, a small cast, that you really do feel those personal connections with each and every queen. And so, yeah, working with two casts in such close proximity, you gain friends for life, which is so special, and living with them as well. So, yeah, it's great.
The happiness on your face just then says it all.
Oh, thank you.
That is a perfect note to wrap things up on, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, Artie. Lovely to be back in the Sixth World, guys. We are going to have a couple of episodes on board Bliss. So there's a few more episodes coming up with a few of the other queens on board with Artie on this contract. Whether you're listening on the Queen of Podcast or We Are Theatre, thank you for joining us. And we will be back very soon with a brand new episode of either show. Thank you and bye. Artie, thank you so much. That was amazing.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.